Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udivayet Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In the next life, text number 13. Yavano Kuru Jayatano.
Yavano Kuru Jayatano.
Prastayam Kalakanyanya.
Prastayam Kalakanyanya.
Priyam Prajwara Samstrishta.
Priyam Prajwara Samstrishta.
Prapalon Vatapyata.
Prapalon Vatapyata.
Yavanam Purujayatano.
Yavanam Purujayatano.
Kastayam Kalakanyaya.
Kastayam Kalakanyaya.
Prajwara Samsrishta.
Punyam Prajwara Samsrishta.
Prapalon Vatapyata.
Prapalon Vatapyata.
Yavanam Purujayatano.
Yavanam Purujayatano.
Stayam Kalakanyaya.
Stayam Kalakanyaya.
Punyam Prajwara Samsrishta.
Yavano Guru Udayanto.
Yavano Guru Udayanto.
Prastayam Kalakanyaya.
Prastayam Kalakanyaya.
Puriyam Prajava Samsrita.
Yavana.
Yavana.
Father Yavanas.
Father Yavanas.
Uparuta.
Uparuta.
Attacked.
Attacked.
Ayatanaha.
Ayatanaha.
His abode.
His abode.
Krastayam.
Krastayam.
When seized.
When seized.
Kalakanyaya.
Kalakanyaya.
By the daughter of time.
The daughter of time.
Kuriyam.
Kuriyam.
The city.
The city.
Prajwara Samsrishta.
Prajwara Samsrishta.
Being approached by Prajwara.
Being approached by Prajwara.
Purapala.
Purapala.
The city superintendent.
City superintendent.
Anvatapyata.
Anvatapyata.
Became also very much aggrieved.
Became very much aggrieved.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The city superintendent of police, the serpent, saw that the citizens were being attacked by Kalakanya, and he became very aggrieved to see his own residence set ablaze after being attacked by the Yavanas. Translation responsible. The city superintendent of police.
The city superintendent of police.
The serpent,
saw
the citizens were being attacked.
Saw the citizens were being attacked
by Kalakanya.
By Kalakanya.
And he became very aggrieved.
And he became very aggrieved
to see his own residence.
To see his own residence
set ablaze.
Set ablaze.
After being attacked by the Yavanas.
After being attacked by the Yavanas.
Purport. The living entity is covered by two different types of bodies, the gross body and the subtle body. At death, we can see that the gross body is finished, but actually the living entity is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The The so-called scientists of the modern age can see how the subtle body is working in carrying the soul from one body to another. This subtle body has been figuratively described as a serpent or the city's police superintendent. When there is a fire everywhere, the police superintendent cannot escape either. When there is security and an absence of fire in the city, the police superintendent can impose his authority upon the citizens. But when there is an all-out attack on the city, he is rendered useless. As the life air was ready to leave the gross body, the subtle body also began to experience pain. Amigya Jimanandisha Jinanjana Shavakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Rave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swadantikam Pancha Kapatu Rubyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Bhiva Cha Petitanabhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadha Shri Vasasi Gaurabhata Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's a famous part of the Bhagavatam, fourth chapter, is the pastime of Purajana. What do we learn from this pastime of Purajana? Why is it there in the Bhagavatam?
Do not get old.
Do not get old. Yeah, okay. That is wishful thinking. So none of you should get old from now on. Any other points from this? What is Bharanjana? What is the pastime? What is it teaching us?
Detachment.
Detachment, vairagya. Because the Bhagavatam is spoken categorically. Prabhupada states this in the introduction of the Bhagavatam. In the introduction it says, the Bhagavatam must be studied systematically or categorically. You can read the Bhagavatam at any place. You can pick up any canto. There's 12 cantos. Prabhupada says, just like if you pick up an apple, you can bite the apple on any side and the apple is sweet. But it means you can read Prabhupada's books at any place. You can pick the Bhagavatam up at any place and you will get satisfaction and sweetness. But at some point, you have to study it systematically, categorically. There's a reason why Shukadeva Goswami has spoken it the way he has spoken it. Because what is the Bhagavatam about?
His original question is how to prepare for death.
That's it, yeah, his original question. But what's the subject of the Bhagavatam?
Absolutely.
Establishing Krishna as the original form of God. Right? The Paribhasa Sutra, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 28. That is the governing verse of the entire Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That one line, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That is the essence of the entire Bhagavatam. The whole Bhagavatam is built upon that one line to establish that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, the original form of Krishna, him, Vrindavan. So that is the essence, that is the subject of the Bhagavatam. So all 18,000 verses are supporting that verse. They're elaborating on that verse. It is that verse which is being elaborated upon. So whenever we read the Bhagavatam, if we're confused about where it is going, then we just have to remember that verse. It's building upon that. So now we get to the fourth canto, and we're hearing about the pastime of Purajana. Right? It's an important pastime. Kauranjava's pastime is allegorical. It's not literal. There's not actually a king, right, called Kauranjava, right? It doesn't, it's not actually, it's an allegory. Sometimes the Shastra, the scriptures, are allegorical, and sometimes they're factual, they're historical. How will you know the difference?
Use your text.
How will you know? Maharaj,
because somebody explains the allegory.
Yeah, in other words, you need a guru. Right? If you don't have guru and sadhu, how will you understand the Shastra? You can't understand the Shastra, right? Unless you have guru and sadhu to explain it. So the guru and the sadhu, they have to point out to you, this part is allegorical, this part is factual or historical. Right? And if you don't have that, you won't know. That's why we have the commentaries of the Acharyas. Prabhupada actually said the purports are more important than the verses. Right? You have the verses of the Bhagavatam, you would not understand the purport or the meaning or the essence or the hidden pastimes and the hidden meanings unless you have the purports or the explanations of the Acharyas. So the Acharya's commentary brings to life the Bhagavatam. Right? So how do we know if this is allegorical? Because the Acharyas tell us this is allegorical. Right? Even sometimes it is commented that when Parikshit is striking the bull, you know, in the first canto, you know where Parikshit Maharaj gets off the chariot, and Kali is personified in the form of the bull, right? Some commentators say that is allegorical, right? Because the four legs are exemplifying or they are representing the four pillars of religion. So whether or not that is, you need the commentaries of the Acharyas. Right? So this pastime of Kauranjava is allegorical. So it's teaching us, it's an allegory to teach us detachment. That is the subject matter. That's why we're studying this. So how does that relate to be Krishna being God? Because that's the essence of the Bhagavatam. Krishna is the Supreme Person. How does this relate, this pastime of Vairagya or detachment? Because if you don't become detached from this material world, you'll never see Krishna. Hands up if you want to see Krishna. Okay, 50-50. That's good. Maybe we should ask again. Hands up if you want to see Krishna. That should be the essence of our life. That is called prayojana. Prayojana means the goal. If you don't even know why you're in this Hare Krishna movement, then why are you in the Hare Krishna movement? If you can't answer what the actual purpose of this movement is, then why are you in the movement? Prabhupada said the whole purpose of this movement is that one day you will see Krishna face to face and you'll take him by the hand like Mother Yashoda and you will lead him. Prabhupada said that is the goal of the movement. That's why we channel these rounds. Right? That's why we read the Bhagavatam. That's why we do devotional service. That's why we surrender our entire life. Now, to the service of spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. Why is it all for? Okay. Because the prayojana, or the goal, is to realize Krishna. Right. That is the purpose of the whole thing. Right. So, you won't realize Krishna if you don't become detached from the material world. Therefore, you study a pastime. When you study this section of the Bhagavatam, after you study this pastime, detachment should be in the heart. Right? It should awaken detachment. Right? And then if you have detachment, then you can realize Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to give bhakti yoga enriched with knowledge and detachment. Vairagya vija nija bhakti yogena. Right? It was said by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, Lord Chaitanya's movement is to teach us bhakti yoga. But bhakti yoga enriched with what?
Knowledge
and detachment. Yeah. Right. That is the proof, because it describes in the beginning of the second chapter of the first canto, Vasudeva Bhagavati, bhakti yoga, priyojita, jnana yashu, vairagya. Jnana, chaya, ahoitukam. Ahoitiki. This is one of the most prominent words in our tradition. It's one of the most important words in our tradition. Pohoijiki. What does it mean?
Causeless.
It says, how do you know if you're performing your devotional service properly? Right? You need a measuring stick. How do you know you're doing your devotional service properly? How do you know you're chanting your rounds properly? Right? If vairagya, detachment, and knowledge, realization, is coming into your consciousness. If you're doing devotional service but you're becoming more attached, because sometimes it happens, right? You're doing devotional service but you're getting more attached to the material energy, there's something wrong with your application of the process. Maybe you're not in the correct ashram. Maybe you need to make some external adjustments, right? Or maybe your rounds are not attentive. Right? Or maybe you're committing offenses in deity worship. Or maybe you're offending devotees. Many things can be taking place. So if you're not performing devotional service properly, you won't be feeling detached. Right? And you won't be developing realizations of Krishna. Right. That is the proof that the devotional service is efficient or working properly. Because Lord Chaitanya came specifically to give devotional service, which is enriched with vairagya and knowledge. So here, when you study this section of the Bhagavatam, you should be feeling a spirit of detachment coming. You should have no attachment to this material world anymore. Nothing is there after you read this after you read these chapters on Paranjana. Hands up if you've read this before. Hands up if you're feeling completely detached from the material world. So what does that mean? Not applying the knowledge. Prabhupada says in the introduction of the Bhagavatam, he says, by the end of the ninth cantos, studying the ninth cantos, if you study them properly, you should be a God-realized soul. You should be seeing Krishna. Right? By the time you get to the 10th canto, you should be so qualified, so purified. So many of us have read the first 9 cantos several times. Right? But we're still not seeing Krishna. It means we're not applying what we are reading properly. So it's like running the offenses against the holy name. What is that offense? Number 8.
You consider
chanting
as one of your
species. Three of you, Kama Kama. Is that number 8?
Yep.
It is. Okay. What's number 9?
No, it's like a famous person.
Very good. What's number 10?
To stay my temperature attached, you need to have the.
Okay, that's the one I'm looking for. Number 10. I knew it was one of them. What is number 10? To maintain material attachments. Right? Essentially, this is effectively, it's probably the main offense that we committed. To maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. How many times do you have to be told you're not the body? How many times do you have to be told to give up your attachment to the material world? How many times do you need to be told to give up lust, greed, and anger? Pride, envy, delusion. Right? But still, okay, so maintaining material attachments. So it means we read, but we're not actually applying it properly. So what should we do?
Read it again.
Very good, yeah. Read it again. But this time more sincerely.
Apply it.
What's that?
Apply it.
Apply it, yeah. Begin to apply it. It's a gradual process. It's a lifetime project. Actually, it takes our whole life. You know, when I first became a devotee and first started practicing, right, and then, you know, you start, in the beginning, Krishna gives you what's called spuriti. Spuriti means, like, special mercy. You know, we all got that when we first came, right? Everything was just ecstatic. Do you remember that time? Mm-hmm. Everything was, you remember that time? Everything was ecstatic when you first came? Yeah. So when you first came, she got chosen. When we first came, everything was blissful. But then after time, maybe it becomes hard work. Does anyone experience like that? Not yet. because that, yeah, it can become hard work. Because then you have to do it for your whole life. You have to keep up the momentum for your whole life. Some devotees experience like that. It becomes like a challenge. It becomes big. So I remember when I first came, I thought, because you know you get so much bliss in the beginning, and you're by Krishna's grace, you're making progress rapidly. I thought, wow, if I keep going like this, I'll be a pure devotee in 2 years. Right? But then after 2 years, right? You really haven't gone very far at all. And after decades, we practice for decades and decades and decades and decades, and we still feel like there's so much work to be done. And so it is a lifetime mission. It's not something which I can quickly necessarily. But we have to apply what we hear. So Paramjana's pastime is to teach us Vairagya. Now it's interesting because in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are 9 stages of Bhava Bhakti. Bhava Bhakti means Sajja. Sajja means the goal, what we're actually aiming for. How do you know that you've reached the goal? Right. Rupa Goswami said there are 9 symptoms. Right. One of the symptoms is Virakti. And then there's an interesting commentary, the difference between Vairagya and Virakti, because both of them can mean detachment. So what is the difference between the two? Vairagya means we have material desires, we have material attachments, but we're consciously or mechanically endeavouring to give them up. We're gradually trying to give up these material attachments and desires. Even though the attachment is there. Just like Prabhupada said, just like you're walking down the street and you see a member of the opposite sex, and you're attached or attracted, a beautiful girl walks past, or an attractive man walks past according to your attraction. So then you see. And then what takes place? Now you're a devotee, you look, you might even be with the other devotees, you might even be on the Harinam chanting, and you see a very beautiful girl is coming, or a very attractive man is coming, and then you look, and your natural proclivity or your natural reaction is to just become captivated. But then you think, oh no, I'm a devotee, I'm a brahmachari, I'm a sannyasi, I'm a grihastha devotee, I cannot look. So you look away. But your mind is still saying, look back. Has anyone had that experience? Okay, 2 people, that's good. So, you know, you might want to look back. Right? But then, you do not look back. Prabhupada says that if you look back a second time, that constitutes a fall down. Right? That means you've fallen down. Because you see, you look away, but still there, and then you look back, you fall down. And then, because of that fall down, that creates a samskara. What is a samskara? It means an impression. Now it's in your consciousness. Right? That's why you have to learn to control the mind. And so you do not look back. So Vairagya means, okay, the attachments are there, but we make the endeavor, we force ourselves to become detached. Right? Virakti, which is a much higher level of detachment, means there's just no attraction. What does it mean, virakti? Virakti means even when you see it, there is no attraction. Because you're so absorbed in the internal energy, the Devi Prakriti. Mahatmanas tumam parta, Devi Prakriti ashrita. A very vast body is absorbed in the Devi Prakriti. Devi Prakriti means the internal energy. Because he's in the internal energy, then it is not attractive. In 1966, 67, very early in the movement, Prabhupada went on the radio. There was one radio interview. And the person is 1966, 67, and you know, they were interviewing Prabhupada. And he said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, are you self-realized? And Prabhupada said, yes. And they said, what is the proof? Prabhupada said, I can be in a room full of naked women and I'm not attracted. But you cannot. That's virakti. Virakti means even when the material sense objects are around you, there's no attraction because you've got so much. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, param drishtva nivartate. Right. When you have that higher taste, that actual taste for Krishna, for chanting the holy name, Nama Ruchi, when you have that actual taste for chanting the holy name, you're not attracted. That's how you know. Right. You can even be in Nama Ruchi. You can even join the group and travel the earth, spreading Krishna consciousness and the holy name of Krishna. Right. So you can even be in Nama Ruchi, but still attracted to the material energy. Because it's not just a name, it's a taste. Right? It's an actual taste. When you have the actual taste for the holy name, Shunanam being cultivated, then you lose all your attachments. Right? That is the process. That is the process. Right? So this is called Virakti. This is what we're aiming for. So this part of the Bhagavatam is teaching us through Sankhya. Sankhya means neti neti, not this, not that. Right? I'm becoming detached from the material world because I'm studying the material world and now it's false. Now it says here, it's talking about the police superintendent. Who is the police superintendent? Who is the chief of police?
The Prana.
Prana? Yeah, it's even getting a little bit more technical than that. The superintendent of police means the subtle body. We have a gross body, which we're all have here. But the gross body changes. Krishna explains that in the Bhagavad Gita. Which verse does Krishna explain that the subtle, the gross body changes? Deinos min yatade komorum yovanum jara. Right? You change. Right? All of us change. This body changes. We've had so many of these bodies. Imagine if Krishna gave you darshan just for a moment, all the bodies you've had previously. You're so attached to this one, right? I am Indian, I am German, I am Puerto Rican, I am Australian, I am man, I am woman. You're so attached to this one. But if you saw all the other ones, you think, oh wow, I've been that. Yeah. You know who I was in my last life? I was an Irish housewife with seven kids, right? Wife of a potato farmer, big fat, seven kids. I was so attached. Right? Now this lifetime, Australian man, right now so attached to this one. But before I was so attached to all my kids and everything, but now nothing. When I see the photo, there's no attachment. Why are you laughing? Do not laugh. Do not laugh at the fat lady. Right? I'm attached to that form. That's where I was. No, it's temporary, that's all. That's just temporary. But the interesting thing is that the subtle body is made of mind, intelligence, and ego. And you've had the same subtle body since you got here in the material world. Right? Since time immemorial. Exactly the same subtle body. You have the same mind. Right? But your mind just changes. Right? According to the association it takes with the modes of nature. Sometimes your mind is more in the mode of goodness. So then you get a body in the mode of goodness. Sometimes more in passion, sometimes more in ignorance. And you get the body according to what your mind is like. Even you see, you know, we all know each other well, right? We all know each other well. Even when you see each other, you can see what the mind of the person is like on a particular day. Sometimes you see what, you know, we see each other, and when you see, you look at the mind. You can say, okay, the mind's more in ignorance or like that. You say, okay, I'll just leave them alone today. Right? Or sometimes you see the person's like, goodness, very beautiful. The mind changes constantly. Right? So according to what the mind, how it forms and how it molds, then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Karma. Sangat, Sangha means
association.
Whoever you associate with, they are the desires or the karma that you develop. What are the desires that you have in your heart? What do you want to become on this earth? You have so many material desires. So many material desires, what you want to become. That's all based on the association that you keep. That's why it's recommended. Lord Chaitanya says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Shastri Bodhi. Right? Lord Chaitanya says, associate with devotees. Because devotees will change your subtle body in a very particular way. So this verse is speaking about the subtle body. We have to change the subtle body. The mind, the intelligence, and the ego. Now, Krishna speaks about these three in the Bhagavad Gita. Mind, intelligence, and ego. What does he say about the mind and the ego? Chapter 6. What is chapter 6 called? Jnana Yoga. What does jnana mean? Meditation. Which element do we use to meditate with? The mind. So if you look at chapter 6, it's a lot about the mind. Krishna gives very powerful verses about the mind. What does he say about the mind? Yeah, he says it's flicker. It moves everywhere. He says it can be your best friend or your worst enemy. You ever experienced that? You wake up in the morning and say, okay, who's there today? Yeah, sometimes you wake up in the morning, like you do like when you turn on the car, it does a check on the computer, and it says, okay, this is working, this is working, this is working. That's what I do when I get up in the morning. Right? I wake up in the morning and I do it like a check. I say, okay, who is it today? Is it my friend or my enemy? Who is there? Right? And he says, our friend is there. I say, oh, okay, good. That makes it a lot easier. Or sometimes I wake up and I say, who's there? He says, enemy. I say, oh, no. Now we're going to deal with this guy all day. Right? He's ready and waiting. The most powerful foe that you will ever meet. Even more powerful than anyone in Abu Dhabi. The most powerful foe that you will ever face. The most powerful enemy. His name is the mind. So powerful. Actually, in the third chapter, Krishna analyzes this. Arjuna asks a very nice question. What does Arjuna say to Krishna? What makes me do something that I know I should not do, but I go and do it anyway? Has anyone ever done that? Yeah, one person? You know you should not do it? Light that fire. Set fire to that house. But you did it anyway. He was only a kid when he did it. Set fire to that house. But you know you should not do that. When you're a kid, you know you're doing the wrong thing. But you do it anyway. That's why we have to control these adults. Right now we have to control them. They join the ashram, we have to control them. You don't know what they're going to do next. Bring them under control. Because the mind does all the time. My mind does it all the time. I want to do that. Like, you know, they bring me like a cake. Right? My mind says, eat the whole thing. The whole thing. Not just one slice, the whole thing. The mind says these things all the time. So if you just do whatever the mind says, you'll be in trouble. So Krishna says, Arjuna says, what is it that makes me do that? Even though I know I should not do something, but I want to do it anyway. And then Krishna says, karma esha, krodha esha, rajaguna samudbhava. It is lust. And it's very interesting because then Krishna analyzes and Prabhupada analyzes where the lust is. Very interesting, that last section of the third chapter of the Gita. Very interesting analysis and section. Where is the lust? What does it do? How does it affect us? Karma esha, krodha esha. Why is krodha mentioned secondly? After karma? because it comes afterward. It's called Kamanuj. Just like today is the appearance day of Ram Anuj Acharya. What does this word mean? Ram Anuj. It's the name of Lakshman, one who follows Ram. Ram Anuja. Anu. It's also, Anu is one of the most important words in our tradition, in our philosophy. Anu Kuyena. Anu. Wherever you say that word Anu, it's very important. So Ram Anuj. Right? One who follows Ram, that is Lakshman. Kamanuj, Krodha is the one who follows Kama. Wherever there is lust, whenever you get lusty, anger is going to follow very closely. Whenever you are lusty, right, you'll feel lust, anger will come straight away. Because the lust will not be satisfied, and then anger will consume your consciousness. That's why if someone's angry, right, now they have anger management courses. If someone's angry, that's all it is. It's unsatisfied desire. Just means the lust of the desire is unsatisfied. If you can learn to control your desires and your lust, then you won't be angry. That's how the system works. So then, Krishna begins to analyze, and Prabhupada, they analyze in the last part of the third chapter. Right? Where is the lust situated? Where is it? Yeah, it's everywhere. It's all through our subtle body. Right? Our mind is full of lust, our intelligence is full of lust, and our ego is lusty. Therefore, everywhere, it's all over the place. Prabhupada says, public enemy, number one. You thought it was Osama bin Laden. You thought it was George Bush. You thought it was President Trump. You thought it was... Who? Scott Morrison. You thought it was Scott Morrison. Who do you think public enemy? Like we all think. You thought it was the coronavirus. You thought it was the Sharona virus. Right? You think everyone thinks different enemies. No, but actually Prabhupada says the enemy is lust. He is the main enemy. So then Prabhupada analyzes, he has captured everything. But it's interesting. It struck me when I studied it. Prabhupada says the capital of lust is the intelligence. Yeah, very, very interesting. Intelligence is actually the capital. Because the mind will always want to do things. But if the intelligence becomes lusty, the intelligence will say, oh, no problem. I'll tell you how to do it. Right? So if the intelligence gets lusty, it's very difficult. So what hope is there for us? What do we do? Mind is lusty. Intelligence is lusty. Ego is lusty. Senses are lusty. What do we do? Very good. Any questions or comments? Okay. No, Krishna goes a little deeper than that. Right? If you read there, he actually gives two very specific instructions how to overcome lusty mind and intelligence. The first thing he says, you must regulate the senses. You have to make the senses regulated, controlled. Right? If you want sex, no problem, go and get married. Right? And then you get a license. Just like if you want to drive a car, no problem. Here's a license. Right? And now you can drive, but you have to follow the rules. If you don't follow the rules, we take the license back. Right? So same, if you want to have sex, no problem. Get married. Right? And then in Krishna conscious marriage, you have sex once a month. Try to have a kid. And then when you have a kid, you won't have sex anymore. And if you still want sex, okay, have another kid. And by the time you've had 10 kids, you'll never want to have sex again. For the rest of eternity. This story is also there with, who was it in the ninth chapter? Subari. Subari came out of the water, got married to 50 wives, and had how many kids was it?
10 each.
Was it 10 with each?
No.
100 with each?
I thought 1,000 with each.
1,000?
No, 100. A lot.
How was it? It was 100 with each, wasn't it? I can't remember. It was a lot. So you got 50 wives, right? Had, say 100 kids each. Maybe, I don't know, maybe more, I don't know. 100 kids each. And at the end, he went back into the water. And then what did he realize? I shouldn't have come out of the water in the first place. What was the point of all that? You know, got it out of his system. Right? 50 wives, 100 kids with each. That's like 5,000 kids. Right? And then went back to the water. That was a waste of time. Okay? So Krishna says, regulate your senses. Most of us don't have the power or the tejas to control the mind on that level. No sex. So Krishna says, no problem. You know, Krishna's not putting pressure on you. You see, the other religious institutions, you know, the Catholic Church and these things, you know, they won't let the priests have sex. Right? And then they start molesting and doing all these crazy things. Right? So Krishna says, okay, you want sex? Go and have it. Regulate yourself, though. Right? Have some kids, and then you'll become fully detached by the grace of the Grihastha Ashram. That's the purpose of Grihastha Ashram. The purpose of Grihastha Ashram is to breed detachment. Right? It's not to enjoy your senses. Right? If you think it's to enjoy your senses, you're an illusion. Right? Of course, when you get married, you think, oh, yeah, now I can enjoy my senses. But you see the Grihastha after 10 years, 20 years, he doesn't look like that anymore. Yeah, they're all like enthusiastic when they get into it. You know, like, oh, now I just want to renounce. Now I just want to serve Krishna, which is what I should have done from the very beginning. I should never have come out of that holy river. So this is controlling the mind. So Krishna says, regulate. You have to regulate your senses. And the second thing he says is you have to make your intelligence spiritually strong. This is how you overcome lust. Right? We all have to overcome lust. Regulate your senses and make your intelligence spiritually strong. How do you make your intelligence spiritually strong?
Reading.
Yeah, reading Shastra. Just like how you make your body strong. Right? You go to flex yoga. You do yoga, asana, and you become very powerful in the body. Right? So that's how you do. Then if you want to make the body strong, you have to exercise. You can't just sit around all day and think your body will be strong. It doesn't work. Same thing. Your intelligence will not become strong unless Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day you're reading the books. Yeah. If you don't read every day, or at least hearing something every day, your intelligence becomes weak. Right? And then you forget what is your purpose. You forget why it is you're supposed to be serving Krishna. That's why you have to hear. You hear all the time. Your intelligence is strong. And I see over the years, because many devotees come and they say, oh, can I speak to you? I'm having problems. Right? And then nearly every time when a devotee comes and says they're having problems, we discuss and we work out what is the source of the problems. Nearly in every case, the people are not reading Prabhupada's books. On a regular basis. I see it time and time again. I see devotees who are reading Prabhupada's books regularly. They have many less problems, much less problems than people who are neglecting. So it actually works. The process works. Read Prabhupada's books, you'll be liberated. Jivan Mukta. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll see if there are any questions or comments what we discussed.
Yes, I have one. You said the intellect is part of the subtle body.
What?
So you said the intellect, like intelligence, is part of the subtle body, which is here from the beginning. so we forget us, like all the intelligence that I would have sort of gathered and worked on in previous lives, I've forgotten. So
no, it's carried with you. It's carried with you. You look at, say, someone like Mozart. You know Mozart?
Like a natural ability.
Yeah, so it's 5 years old. But you know, it all comes with you. Or you know Ravi Shankar, right, played the sitar. Prabhupada said he was playing sitar for 7 lifetimes. You don't just pick up. You know, that's just, yeah. It all comes with you.
So it was, yeah, so I've been reminded of the kind of thing if I hear it.
Means it's in your subtle body. So when you are exposed to those things again in this lifetime, then the natural abilities and talents will come. Like some of us are just good at some things. Right? We're just good at some things. Right? And then other people are not good at those things. And then there's some things I'm just not good at. and other people are like just brooding.
So would you also say like, so you said intelligence is at the capital of lust or where it resides or something. So would you say if you sort of, you take a lust and then if you sort of use your intellect to study that, it is usually not the senses. So you can overcome it by sort of like understanding it.
Krishna says there's a hierarchy in the Bhagavad Gita. If you read the end of the third chapter, there's a hierarchy there. Have you read the Bhagavad Gita?
I'm reading it now.
Reading it. Where are you up to?
Chapter 11.
11, yeah. So the end of chapter 3, that's a very important section. After that question, around about verse 36 or so, and then Krishna answers. If you study that very carefully, you'll get a lot of insight, realization. So Krishna says there's a hierarchy. There's sense objects. Higher than sense objects are senses. Higher than senses is mind. Higher than mind is intelligence. Higher than intelligence is the soul. And higher than soul is super soul. So what happens is people put the hierarchy upside down. Right? Sense objects become the goal or the controller or the supreme destination. Right? You see someone like Donald Trump, for example. Right? What's the goal? Sense objects. So the senses, right? So that, then the mind works that out, the intelligence, the soul's just being dragged along, the super soul's forgotten. Whereas we turn it up the correct way. Right? Sense objects are the least, right? Senses, mind should be in control of the senses, intelligence should be controlling the mind, right? Soul should be in control of intelligence, and super soul should be in control of the soul. That's the correct term.
Very good question.
Any other question? Go ahead.
What's the, the subtle body is traveling with us from time and away. Does it still carry to a spiritual realm?
No, it dissolves. Yeah, Prabhupada said the process of bhakti dissolves the false ego. Because when we come into the material world, we come through the layers that surround the material world, and each layer is thicker than the other layer, and the thickest layer is the ego. Right? So as you're going out, you have to pass through all of those as you're leaving again. And as you go through, you go through earth. Right? And earth means taste. Right? You're tasting earth. So you know, you go through, as you're going back to Krishna, you pass through, right? And you're offered pizza. Right? Taste. Right? And as you're going through, you're like, am I going to stop and eat the bulk up, or we're going to keep going to Krishna? Right, and then water. No, earth is smell, sorry. Earth, yeah, so when you go through the water, that's when you taste the cheese. No, the cheese is waiting. Right? And then you go to form, which is fire. You see all the beautiful forms, yeah, and we're going to choose out of Krishna, and then you go through them gradually. And then the last thing to give up is the ego, so that has to be dissolved. So when we go back, it's just a pure soul. And the soul has mind, the soul has intelligence, but it's purified. It's not this one that's covering the mind that gets dissolved and overcome. Any other questions or comments?
How can we use this detachment that we cultivate in sharing Krishna with others?
Well, if you're detached, then you won't waste time with material activities, and then you'll have more time to share Krishna with others. That's what sannyasa is for. Sannyasa means the body, the mind, the words are used in Krishna's service. So because you're not using it for material activities, you have more time to speak Krishna to others. So when it becomes detached, you can give more Krishna to others who have more time. Any other questions? Comment? Okay. Shall we go back here?
Go down there.